This is Will's Band of the Week for September 1st, 2010. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hey, everybody.
And we're back again. Did we have last week off? I think we did. No, we didn't. You did.
I had last week off.
See, I forgot already.
We both had the week off before that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been a while for me.
And Grant and I brought you the music last week. Sorry,
yeah,
Grant.
You guys did a nice job. Good job, Grant.
We kept it going. And speaking of keeping it going, we've been doing this for a year now. The podcast been going for a whole year. Can you believe that?
You told me that when I came here, and I was pretty surprised.
I didn't even have really the date in mind, but just the other day, it occurred to me that it seemed like we've been doing it for about a year, and I looked, and the first episode was from August of 2009. So, full year.
Wow.
So I think it's pretty close to 50 episodes, because we haven't skipped many weeks.
What was the first band? Was it The Answering Machine?
The Answering Machine, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. Kind of cool. So, everybody should give us a round of applause, right? At home?
They should.
Yeah. If you're by yourself,
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're, at home getting ready for work or something, shaving or something, just put everything down and just start clapping.
Right.
Yeah.
We can hear it.
Yeah, we can.
Yep. That's enough now. You can stop. There's always a few people that clap. They want to be the last one clapping.
Yeah.
So, if that's you, you can stop now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. You can subscribe to this podcast from iTunes. And to do that, you just go to iTunes. Now, maybe by the time this episode is released, there'll be some kind of upgrade to iTunes, right? There's been some rumors about that because Apple is going to have their annual iPod event. And right. There are rumors that they might do some kind of upgrade to iTunes. But I think whatever they do to it, you'll still be able to subscribe from iTunes by just doing a search for the podcast and doing it that way. There are also some podcasts now that have these iPhone apps. But I think to do one of those, we have to pay extra money. So we'd need like a fund to do that. Plus, if you have an iPhone, you can probably figure out how to get the podcast without a specific app, right?
Right.
Yeah, shouldn't be that hard. You can also contact us by going to the website, willsband.net. You can post a comment there. You can go to the Facebook page, the Will's Band of the Week podcast page, that is. Or you can email us directly, willsband@yahoo.com. And please do that. We like to maintain contact. We also like to be reassured that some people are listening, right?
Exactly. So the first feature is always music news.
You got some?
Well, this is not news to you or I because we were both there, but on Sunday we went and saw at a neighborhood festival here, Kings Go Forth, which is a band that we talked about probably 2 months ago.
Right.
They played a little neighborhood fest. It's actually not a little festival. It's a pretty big one. I was quite impressed. Called Orton Park Festival or something like that.
Right.
And they played on a Sunday, a sweltering Sunday afternoon at 2:30. So the crowd was a little bit lacking. I thought they deserved a better time slot than that, but they put on a good show, and I think everybody that was there really seemed to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. They really should have been like, the 8 or 9 p.m. band, right? Playing at night. And
definitely.
So it was cool just that they were there, though. When I saw the list for the festival and I saw they were going to be there, I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. It's got to be the local connection, right? I mean, they're from Milwaukee, so it's about 80 miles from us.
Maybe they had to play some more in Milwaukee on Sunday night, and they just squeezed it in there.
Yeah, well, that could be.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Two-a-days, like all the football teams are doing this time of year. Well, I don't have any actual music news, but I did want to put in a little plug for the AV Club Undercover series. Have you seen any of these videos?
I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The AV Club is the Onion's entertainment division, and it's just avclub.com. And they did this thing where they picked 25 songs that they must have just thought would be cool songs for bands to do covers of. And then they invited bands to pick one of the 25 songs and play it, and they recorded it in their studio. I guess the Onions studio or something in Chicago, I think.
I don't know where they did it.
Yeah. And when a band would pick a song, they cross it off the list, you know, and then they got 24 left, 23, etc. And they got a lot of interesting bands to play a lot of interesting songs, and the way they're recorded is really good, and a lot of the bands just, I think they're just really good. And so it's really worth checking out. So go to AV Club and search for Undercover Series or Undercover. I think you'll find it that way. Some examples. The recent one was The Walkmen doing Driver 8 by REM. There was a really good one of Clem Snide doing a Journey cover. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that.
That's really good. The Clientele did an MIA song, and Superchunk doing The Cure was pretty cool too. But those are just a few examples. There are 25 of them, and the majority of them are really good. There obviously are some duds in there, but highly recommended. And here's my other musical tidbit. The other day, Grant was down in the basement playing his guitar, and he started playing something, and it kind of sounded familiar to me. And so I yelled down to the basement. I said, "Grant, have you ever heard the Undertones?" And he says, "No." And I said, "Well, you may not realize it, but you're playing an Undertones song right now."
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to play. This is what he was playing.
Very nice.
So he was inadvertently playing that riff.
And it is a pretty simple thing that somebody could kind of stumble into.
Absolutely, yeah. So now my wife is kind of upset with me because since I told him that, he doesn't want to play the song that he was kind of working on anymore because he thinks it's, you know, stolen. And I said, it's just one little piece. You know, you're not going to have the same vocal line and the other parts will be all different. So anyway, I have to talk to him again so he doesn't shy away from it. But that song, I had some friends in a punk band in high school who played a cover of that, and it was great. And I've just always liked that song. It's cool.
Yeah. Undertones are just always been kind of underappreciated, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I really like them. Kind of Irish punk band. Fergal Sharkey was the lead singer.
Right.
He has a great, great voice.
Right.
Kind of that quaver to it.
Right. Great name, too.
Yep.
And that's 1978. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. It's too old even for a 30th anniversary. Yep. All right. You know what we've got this week? We've got a blockbuster.
This is a biggie.
We're going to review a blockbuster.
Yep.
I mean, this album hit number one on the Billboard charts, I think.
It did. Yeah, I looked it up. It came out on August 3rd, and within a week it was at number one.
Have you looked lately? I don't know where it is right now.
I don't know. It's, I don't really look at the charts. Just because it made it up there, I heard about it. But
yeah, I think it's still number one on E Music.
Wow.
So, you know, it's number one on the, you know, sort of indie type music store.
Right.
So, of course, we're talking about the Arcade Fire and their new album, The Suburbs.
Yep. I'd say that this was probably the most anticipated album this year, at least of, you know, the kinds of stuff that we review.
Yeah.
And by my accounting, it's kind of the third really big one after Spoon came out with the first one. That mm-hmm. was, and I don't think that made quite the impact that I was expecting. And then Broken Social Scene and this. I don't know of any. Well, and The National, too.
Right.
Those are kind of the biggies.
And I don't know where you put LCD Sound System in there, but that's, you know.
It's in there, too.
Maybe a little more of a cult following. I don't know.
Have to take out all that stuff I said about there only being a few. Because there are some, there were some big ones by kind of established bands.
Right.
And so there's a lot of pressure coming in. People had high expectations. The first two albums were beloved by many.
And as is sometimes our practice on this podcast, we did not discuss this beforehand. So I don't even know what Barrett's going to say about this album, and he doesn't know what I'm going to say either.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So the anticipation is building. I can't do a drum roll because I'm holding a microphone with one hand. So otherwise I would do a little drum roll.
Right.
Well, maybe I can do this. Let's try it. Kind of sound like a helicopter or something. All right. Well, where do we even start the discussion on this thing? Maybe I should just do this. One of us should just say what we think of the album, right? Like the overview, right?
Okay.
So who's going first?
Well, you can go first.
Okay. I'm going first. Okay. Let me give the background kind of. The first album was Funeral, and I kind of read a lot about it before I ever bought it. And so it was sort of one of those big indie rock albums that I kind of caught on late to, and then grew to like it quite a bit. I never thought that it was like start to finish great, but I thought there was a lot of really good stuff on it, and I thought they were a cool band to be, you know, indie rock darlings or whatever.
Right.
You know? And when Neon Bible came out in, I think, 07, I really liked it a lot. I liked it better than Funeral. And I'm sure it was on my top 10 list for that year. I can't remember where on my list. I think I forget what's on my list, you know.
I do
a year or
time.
Two later.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to look back at them and say, God, oh yeah, that album. Right. I had that on my list. It's kind of fun to make lists, you know.
It is fun.
So now, fast forward to 2010, I had heard two songs in this album that got kind of pre-released. Remember, there was a single that had the song "The Suburbs" and another song called "Month of May," and I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really. I think it sort of made my expectations low coming in. But bottom line on this, I think it's a really, really excellent album. I think it's a major album, a big accomplishment. And it's like, it's worthy of the hype. I really think it's great. And Barrett's giving me this little look that's telling me, I bet you he's not going to have the same opinion. And I think what I really like about it is that they've really broadened their sound. I think in the past, a lot of it was like, everything had to be an anthem. And I really like the way this album has some sort of pacing, where it has some fast stuff, some slow stuff, a lot of variety. And I really like the way it flows from track to track. And so I'm way thumbs up on this. So maybe we'll just play a song while you're mulling over your comments, okay? And okay. I'm going to go with probably, you know, maybe an obvious choice, but I think this is just one example that's just really, really good. The second track, Ready to Start.
Is
And I can't really show it without playing the whole track, but about three quarters of the way through, it takes sort of a turn, and I think it's really cool. So, yeah, there's my number one pick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised that you liked it more than I did, and all the reviews are solidly in your favor. Everybody liked it. And I like it. I like it okay. You know, the first one, Funeral, I when that came out, that must have been like, what, 04?
Right.
And that was when, like, anything that came out on Merge, I would, like, you know, be on their website and finding out when something's coming out, and I'd go out and get it. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the first one. And the second one, I just, Neon Bible, I got out of, you know, it just, like, seemed like the thing to do. And never really connected with it. So I wasn't sure going into this how it would you know, what I would think about it. And I guess I'm just underwhelmed. To me, it's the sound of 2004 to 2007 to me. Mm. And it does have some slower songs in it, which I do like. And I agree that you know, it kind of mix the pacing up a little bit, and they're not all anthems, and that's cool. And so I think that some of the songs that I picked because of that. So mm-hmm. that's a valid thing. And you know, the amount that I do like it is because of that. And I'm gonna pick for my first song. It's kind of late in the album. It's called Sprawl 2, and this one's got female vocals. They've got kind of a male female thing. It's a couple, Wynn Butler and his wife, Regina. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce her last name.
Yeah, we'll just call her Regina.
Regina C. Mrs. C.
Right.
And this is her singing, and yeah, I just like this one.
Okay, this is Sprawl 2.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's not a typical song at all. Usually their songs are packed with strings and horns and glockenspiels. They yeah. really layer the... And this has just kind of got a simple old-school synthy sound to it.
I read one or two people comparing it to New Order, which I thought was funny. It's not really like New Order, but yeah. It does have that synth beat kind of thing right. going. And there isn't another song like that on this album.
Right. So. You know what Wynn Butler compared this whole album and their whole sound to?
No, I don't know.
He said it was a mix between Depeche Mode and and Neil Young.
Oh, man. Well, I never really thought of the Neil Young part.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much Depeche Mode either, but there's, you know, there's a variety.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of music is about mood, and maybe I just found myself in the mood for this more than you did.
That could be. I mean, I feel a little bit like Chris at the National podcast.
Where you're not quite getting...
He had like, his, yeah.
Yeah, why everybody loves it so
but
much.
But I'll tell you, I talked to him recently, and he said, you'll never guess what I like now. He likes the National.
It's starting to creep up on him?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
So, I mean, this has got that potential. And I certainly listened to it enough. I think the first couple of songs... Or, you know, like the first, you know, three of the first four songs or so just don't really connect with me.
Hmm.
Another problem I had with this was kind of a technological problem in that I don't have the physical CD. I have this on my iPhone.
Oh.
And it's got the weirdest thing where I can't figure out how to turn the shuffle off.
Oh.
It's super annoying.
And you can't get to play in order?
Well, I can't. I mean, I have to kind of do it painstakingly. Like, I'll look at the album, and then I can't push next. I've got to, like, push the title of the song. So I figured it out tonight how to turn that off.
Okay.
So maybe those roadblocks were kind of just... I was, you know...
You weren't getting the pacing.
Misplacing that annoyance. It should have been with my phone, and it was I placed it on the album.
Yeah. I think that's totally unfair.
It is unfair.
Yeah.
But... I'm only sounding lukewarm on this in contrast with how much you liked it, I think. I mean, I liked it just fine. I'd give it a recommendation, but it didn't hit me the way that it's hit you.
Okay.
So what's your next favorite
track? Well, boy, there's a fast one, a mid-paced one, and a slow one that are all really great. So just to tell people, you won't be able to hear it all tonight, but I'm going to pick the fast one. I think this is a really cool one. It's called Empty Room.
I did like that song, and I made a list too of the ones that I liked that I would play, and that was the first one I wrote down, and it's on the end of the first third of the album. So for me, the album just didn't grab me right away.
Took a while to unfold.
Right.
You know, when I hear some of these songs, I think that I really think they would be a really good live band. I've never seen them live. I've heard a lot of people say really good things about them. You know, I've seen clips, you know, but you don't really know how a band's going to sound live until you actually see them live.
Right.
And I can really see them kind of getting a crowd worked up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would have been cool to see them at Lollapalooza. They were there the day after we were there. So they were the Sunday night closer at the same time as Soundgarden. I don't think that would be a hard choice for me.
Yeah.
Got to get the Soundgarden dig in there one more time.
Yeah, we do.
So, well, was there another track that that you thought was worthy of being played on the podcast?
Yeah, I like quite a few. I wrote down like seven of them here, which is, you know, that's like half the album. So that's pretty good. I'm choosing number 13. It's called We Used to Wait. And about 2 minutes and 15 seconds in, I don't know if we're going to listen to it that long, but it starts to sound a little bit like a 10cc song, which I liked. So,
well, since I had this on my list also, we'll let it play a little longer, and we'll try to get to the 10cc part, okay?
All right.
And this one, I think, is pretty much, if there were like a just a representative song of the band, I think this probably fits right in there. You know, it's kind of right in the middle of all the stuff they do, and really good, I think, too.
Doesn't that sound like Things We Do for Love?
Yeah, that middle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does. And it's interesting, I never really concentrated on that little segment before.
Right.
So maybe that's a sign of a good album, or at least a long album. This is 16 songs and a little over an hour. So.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, not that they're making this for me, but if they wanted me to like it more, they would pare it down to about 35 minutes. Which is an incredible, awesome length for an album. Because you can listen to it, you know, driving to work, for instance.
I think I like 42-minute albums.
42?
Yeah.
That's got like two songs more than I like.
But my drive to work is only 10 minutes, so it doesn't work.
But
But, you know, I kind of appreciate the long albums sometimes. And I was thinking about that recently. You know, if an album is 65 minutes long, chances are, you know, you're not going to like all of it. So you're going to say, okay, well, it would have been a great 45-minute album. But isn't that kind of true of a 45-minute album also? If you took like 9 of the 12 songs, you could say, wow, this would have been a great 33-minute album. You know, it's kind of the nature of it that an album is usually not going to like grab you like every single song.
Right. So maybe you could say that most albums are 80% good.
Right.
And have 20% is like, you know, if the 20% is okay, then it's a great album.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much true, I think. Yeah, well, you know, you picked the same track I was going to pick for my last one, but maybe we ought to just find a slow one just so people can get an idea of one of the slow ones. So just to give you an idea of how kind of slow, downcast this can get, which I kind of like, this one's called Sprawl 1, Flatland.
To the sprawl, to find the house where we used to stay. Couldn't read the number in the dark. You said, let's save it for another day. Took a drive to the sprawl, to find the places we used to play. It was the loneliest day of my life. You're talking at me, but I'm still far away. Let's take a drive through the sprawl, to these towns they built the change.
Then you said, he's painting a bleak picture of the suburbs, I think.
Yes, he is. That's another thing about this album, and you know, sort of my you know, relationship with albums is I think it's adversely affected when I don't have the physical album, and I'll explain why. You know, there's a lot of times when, you know, we had about 3 weeks to listen to this, and there were quite a few times where I'm like, you know what, I would like to just sit down and listen to this from beginning to end and read the lyrics, because I think this would be, there'd be a lot in there that would be, you know, interesting, and I think the lyrics are, you know, what I've bothered to really listen to carefully has been really good. But I just wanted to sit down with the CD in my hand. It's like, I am doing this now. I'm looking at it. I'm reading it.
Yeah.
I own this. It's not just some music that's playing in the background.
Yeah, and you're not trying to multitask or something.
Right.
You're really focusing on it. Right.
I know that if I had the physical album in my hand and made some time to kick back and like have some tea or whatever, and put my feet up and really, you know, read the liner notes and stuff, I would have liked it like, you know, a third more than I did. So
yeah, there's something to be said for that.
So I came out in the beginning and I said I didn't like it that much, and I keep kind of backing off on that and making excuses for why that might be. So I think I feel bad about not liking it more than I do. And I laid out some reasons, and I'll address those reasons, and I think I'll probably like it better.
Yeah, and we'll see where it ends up. You know, when we do our end of year podcast, we can also kind of talk about like albums that we might have changed our opinion on over time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe Sleigh Bells will, you know, be your number 9 or something.
Right, you guys will have disowned it by then.
Right. Like, what's going on?
Hell.
Right. But it does happen sometimes, I think. And don't you find sometimes there are albums that you've got on your kind of, you know, your current list of what you're listening to, and you're just about to kind of put it on the back burner and listen to something else. You're like, I think I'll listen to this one more time. And then you're like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I kind of like this. It's interesting how there can be a fine line, you know, giving up on something or really liking it.
Yeah, that happened to me with a Spoon album, Ga 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 Ga, however many guys are in that. Mm-hmm. I'd kind of given up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, again, I was just like walking around listening to my iPod. And, yeah, give it a shot. And I really liked it. And it kind of restored my faith in that band.
Yeah, so that's cool. All right, well, we decided to devote most of the podcast to one band because we had a blockbuster band this week.
Right. So,
but we'll come up with some more, you know, maybe stuff you haven't heard before for next week and the week after. Right?
Right.
Got anything in mind? I mean, not that you should give up any secrets right now, but, you know, you listening to anything that you're thinking of?
You know what? I keep listening to Nick Lowe because Wilson loves it.
Wilson's cool. Wow, that's cool.
My 9-year-old son. And the sound, or the song, The Sound of Breaking Glass, he just, I don't know if we played that one. I don't think we did. He can't get enough of that. So
I've got a funny...
He'll latch on to little songs that just kind of... He's surprised, but he just...
Yeah. Well, we'll come up with something. And I've got a couple new things I've been listening to, and I'm sure you'll come up with something, too. And I do have one other story, though, in a follow-up to your story about Wilson liking Nick Lowe. My nephew in St. Paul is taking guitar lessons, and he's 8. And he was taking this guitar lesson at the, you know, the rock and roll music store. They had him taking lessons from, you know, I guess a more traditional guitar teacher, and he wasn't that much into it. And then, so then they changed teachers to the guy at the rock and roll store, and now he just loves it. You know, so kind of cool. But anyway, the guy must, there must have been some music on in the store or something, and my 8-year-old nephew says, "Hey, that's Fugazi." And the teacher looked at him like, "You got to be kidding me! You know what who Fugazi are?" It was just hilarious. You know,
that's funny.
One of those funny things. My brother-in-law is a big Fugazi fan, so yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So okay, I think we covered it. We covered our blockbuster. You know, how often are we going to review or discuss the number one album on the Billboard charts?
Not very often. No.
You know, it'd be interesting to see. Where, you know, are they going to be as big as, like, Coldplay and Radiohead? You know, are they going to be, could they even be, like, the next, you know, big blockbuster band? Could they be, like, a Springsteen? I don't know. There aren't bands like that anymore. No. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. I mean, I think the next, well, they're Canadian, but let's say the next big North American band, before they get up into the Springsteen echelon, they've got to knock off, like, well, you know what? They are bigger than right now. They are bigger than Yola Tango and Wilco, which is kind of weird.
Right. Yep.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flaming Lips, maybe.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they're...
Are they bigger than The National?
I think they are. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, look at Lollapalooza, for example. The National played a smaller stage at, like, 5:30. Arcade Fire played a bigger stage, closing the festival.
Right.
Although it was Sunday. And I think the National played on Sunday also.
Well, then again, the Monkees, Jimi Hendrix opened for the Monkees one time, so.
Yeah, you can't always use that comparison. But.
No,
well,
that says a lot, though.
Well,
that
and here's an example in, you know, humble Madison, Wisconsin. The National is playing a month from now, and I just went to buy tickets about a week ago, and it's not sold out, and they're playing a theater that's about, how many people does the Orpheum hold? 2,000, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
The guy at the ticket window said he thinks it will sell out, but it won't be till close to the date of the show. Now, I could be wrong, but I think if Arcade Fire played at the Orpheum, they that would be one of those sell out in half an hour type things.
Yeah.
So
that's just wrong. I think that the National is so much better than these guys. And you liked them both and you haven't weighed in yet.
I got to leave some mystery, right, for the end of the year podcast.
Okay, yeah.
I'm way up on both of them.
Right.
But
are they the biggest band in North America right now?
Arcade Fire. They might be. I mean, who would be bigger?
Like among you know, indie bands.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't have a reference. I don't read the charts and all that. My recent reference is Lollapalooza. And obviously, I think Green Day is bigger, but that's, you know, they're like pop metal punk. They're not really an indie band at all. They're pretty clearly an arena rock band.
Right.
Yeah, in terms of like this general like classification of music, if you take out, you know, the 15-year-old girl music and Justin Bieber and you know, the teeny boppers and the, you know, the big monster hip hop artists, I think Arcade Fire is, you know, as big as it gets in North America. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
Dissatisfying to me. America and our Canadian cousins, we've got to do a better job. Somebody's got to unseat these guys.
Somewhere out
this
there.
This is like Ken Norton being the heavyweight champ. It's just not right.
All right. Well, it's up to somebody to unseat them, right?
Right.
Yeah. So.
And we've got an album by The Walkmen coming out.
Yes.
In a couple of weeks. So.
And they're playing here. You know that?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I think in October. So it might be worth going. They're a band that I can't decide how much I like them. I know I like them at least a little bit, but I can't decide whether I like them a lot or not. So.
Yeah. I always like them. Like, I think, but it's, you know, I really love them, and I listen to them, and I like them a little bit less than I assume that I do. Do you ever feel that way about things? That's kind of
yeah,
dumb.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like my wife and I were watching TV, and finally remembered movie came on, Cabin Boy, with Chris Elliott, and it's just the worst stupid movie. And
we knew
that. First time we saw it, we weren't fooled into believing that it was good. But I thought, I really like that, and it's hilarious, and I'm going to watch it. And we watched it, and liked it less than I remembered. Kind of like just how I feel about The Walkmen.
You would have been better off not watching it again and just retaining the memory from how much you enjoyed it the first time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That said, though, I am looking forward to this Walkmen album. I've heard that it's going to be a biggie.
Good. Well, we can look forward to it as one we'll probably discuss at some point on the podcast, right?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Okay. I think that's it. That's enough for the week. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned, if you can do such a thing as tune to a podcast.
Right.
And next week we'll be back again with another exciting edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Night.